The Faro by-election on May 9 is shaping up as one of the most consequential local contests in recent Australian political history. Once a blue Liberal Liberal seat held by Susan Lee for nearly 24 years, it's now the first test of Angus Taylor's leadership, with One Nation a genuine chance of picking up this seat. The Wire's Patrick Dunstan asked Region Riverina editor Oliver Jacks, what are the issues on the ground as voters head to the polls?
I think probably one of the big issues here is water, which is not such a big issue in the cities. So, for example, I guess there's a lot of debate over a lot of the towns in this electorate are purpose-built for irrigation, and there's a lot of fear here that water will be taken away through the Murray-Darling Basin Plan and allowed to flow down the river rather than being used in food production. And that sort of concerns a lot of people. So I guess that's probably a distinctive issue here, along with the cost of living and other broader issues.
One Nation is leading the polls heading into the final stretch, but this week brought revelations that David Farley sought Labor pre-selection in 2022 and reportedly donated to Labor in 2023. How much of those revelations cut through locally, and is his standing with voters in Farrah holding up or starting to slip?
I don't think it's going to affect really the result. It's probably, I think there's a lot of cynicism around these sort of news stories here in Farrah. I think it probably would have been damaging if this had come out a month or two, but there's already been a narrative that's framed around, I guess, the candidates. There's also a bit of suspicion around his opponent, Michelle Millthorpe, and where her allegiances lie. So this will basically now the same. There'll be the same impact now on him, because he's tried to portray his opponent as kind of Labor light, and now this is coming back on him. But I think it's probably a bit too late to make a difference.
Susan Lee held Farrah for nearly 24 years and had a serious personal following in the electorate before Angus Taylor rolled her in February. What are her supporters telling you now about the way she was axed, about her replacement, and about whether they still see the Liberal Party as their natural home?
Well, it's quite conspicuous that Susan Lee is completely unseen on this campaign trail. She hasn't appeared with the Liberal candidates. Generally the case that when the new candidate is running, the existing candidate who's been there, in this case 25 years, would be by their side campaigning to help them. But she's not turned up at all, it seems, at this race. And I think there probably is a little bit of bitterness among some people in the electorate in the way that she was treated. And that's kind of reflected in, if you look at the support, it's quite extraordinary that the Liberal Party, who has held this seat comfortably for 25 years, they're now pretty much polling like a minor party, around sort of 15-16%, and are considered like not even in the race.
You've described One Nation as the slickest, most energetic campaign in the field. Packed launches, dominant on social media, drawing crowds across the electorate. What's actually driving that on the ground in Farrah, and is it built on local organisation or imported muscle from the head office?
I think they've got an extremely slick social media campaign. They've obviously injected entertainment into politics. They do these videos, which are quite amusing and entertain people, and have just got their social media game down pat. There's also a lot of anger, I guess, against the major parties here. The equivalent state seat in Griffith, for example, is held by an independent as well. And so people are kind of fed up with the major parties. One Nation have cashed in on that. And there's also, again, a lot of people are attracted to the independent Michelle Millthorpe, who's also running here in the main competition to One Nation. But One Nation have quite successfully run a campaign to kind of undermine her and portray her as being sympathetic, I guess, to green voices.
One Nation has tried to win a seat in the lower house for 30 years and never managed it. If they take Farrah, which they're widely touted to do, a seat with genuinely multicultural pockets like Griffith, does that mark the moment One Nation stops being read as a protest vote and starts being read as a reflection of where the domestic political landscape of Australia actually is? And what kind of shockwaves would that send through Canberra and more specifically the major parties?
I think this is huge. This has huge national significance. I think One Nation have been trying to win their first seat in federal lower house seat for 30 years and have never quite got there. And in this seat, they've never really had much of a presence. They haven't had a branch. It is, as you say, quite a multicultural seat. So no one really expected them to be much of a force here. But for them to win a seat like this will really, you know, it will show donors, it will show other voters that they're a force to be reckoned with. And it really could see Australia go down the path that we've seen in other countries where these insurgent populist right movements like Reform in the UK, like MAGA and Trump in America, really take hold and really overtake, I guess, the mainstream Conservative parties.
Region Riverina editor Oliver Jack speaking to The Wire's Patrick Dunstan.